This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a very real pleasure to have on today's program Representative William L. Dickinson, Republican from Alabama. Congressman Dickinson, very good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's good to be back.
Congressman Dickinson, on March 30th, you made a speech entitled The March on Montgomery, The Untold Story, followed on April 27th by a second speech on the same subject. Have you received a great deal of response from around the country on these two speeches?
Yes, Dick. The response I have received has really been phenomenal, and from all I can learn, it's been unprecedented. I've been getting 300 to 500 letters per day. I have personally paid for more than 100,000 copies of the first speech to be sent to people who have ordered them. I've had to start charging for them because I can't afford to keep sending them out for free. It's really been remarkable and beyond anything I ever expected.
Briefly, would you summarize the charges made in these two speeches? It concerns the conduct of the participants in the Selma to Montgomery march and some of the activities prior to and following this march. Is that not correct?
Yes, that's in essence what it was about. What I had said was that the march on Montgomery from Selma was not what it was publicized or claimed to be. They tried to make it some sort of a holy crusade, when in fact it was riddled with acts of immorality and debauchery before, during, and after the march in Selma on the road and in Montgomery. And this was not quite the lily pure thing that the liberal press would have you believe. And the reason I'm into it is because my hometown is Montgomery, and it was my people and my family and others that were being subjected to this sort of hooliganism. And the American people just deserve to know and have the right to know.
In your first speech on March 30th, you made the charge that the hard core of the demonstrators and the marchers were human flotsam. I believe you used those terms, that they were beatniks, riffraff, degenerates, and that degeneracy, drunkenness, and sex orgies were the order of the day for this group before, during, and after the march. And also that the underlying strength of this movement for the march came from the assistance of hardcore communists.
That's true. That's very true. There were, what I had said was there were four very distinct groups involved in this march, and one were the local Negroes in Alabama, those who were personally affected, whose rights they were demonstrating for personally. And they were sincere and motivated by what they thought was the best way to obtain what they considered had been deprived from them illegally. The second group were the do-gooders, I call them, the sincere, devout, if misguided, in my opinion they were, but really truly Christian men and women who have come in from all over the United States, members of the clergy, professional people, teachers, and they came into Alabama and joined in the march, particularly right at the end, because they felt like they were doing their share to help the downtrodden and the underprivileged and the deprived. The third group, however, was the hardcore of this outfit, and this was your beatniks and your riffraff that had just flocked to any standard because they've got nothing to do. They were recruited and they were paid, and the same faces appeared in Jackson, Mississippi, or Oxford. The same faces appeared in Selma and Montgomery and Rochester, New York, and on Berkeley campus. The same nuts and the same professional agitators go from place to place and are sent by bus. They're paid $10 a day according to their own statements and given other inducements to come down. And they don't care what they're demonstrating for. The same faces will be right here in Washington and you see the same dirty, unwashed people and the same scraggly hair and beards walking on the streets carrying signs in Washington that you saw in Montgomery, Alabama.
In your second speech on April 27th, you referred to the march from Selma to Montgomery as modern Canterbury tales which make Chaucer's pilgrims seem like paragons of virtue and models of piety by comparison. And then you offered affidavits from eyewitnesses to various acts of sexual misconduct and drunkenness and otherwise disorderly behavior. Just how did you secure this information, Congressman Dickinson?
Well, I simply made the statement to the press and in one of my news releases that I wanted to secure some eyewitness accounts of what went on, and I have here close to 40 affidavits of people who have come forward voluntarily, have sworn before God that they were eyewitnesses to the various things that are contained in the affidavits, and they contain everything I have charged and then some as to drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, anything that I have said, and a lot more is contained in these few affidavits, and I could have gotten twice as many if I had wanted to take the trouble. I am being taken to task all over the United States by the liberal press by saying that I have come forward with no proof. Well, I can't subpoena. All I can do is get the sworn statements of eyewitnesses. Many of the press have said, well, he doesn't have any pictures and he's promised pictures. I've never promised anything. Except that this went on and that I could prove it. Now, on the floor and in the congressional record, you could not insert photographs if you had them. And I cannot physically bring the people here, but I have produced sworn statements, the names and addresses of the witnesses, and have presented them before the Congress. And I have asked that an appropriate committee of the Congress look into it and examine these witnesses and see if they're telling the truth. Because it's a very grave charge, and it's a very grave wrong being done to the American people, I feel.
Do you mean, Congressman Dickinson, that you had no staff of investigators working on this situation?
Well, no, I have no more staff than any other congressman has. I have one man in the district, and I got another fellow, just a friend of mine, to volunteer. And I don't have no investigative staff, and I have no policemen working for me or any other trained investigators. These are just people who work for me regularly that have gone about in Montgomery and around in the district and contacted people who have written in or phoned in to say that they were with the president and they did see these things and were willing to come forward and make a statement.
On these affidavits, do you have any reason to question the reliability of any of these people?
Why, no. What possible purpose, what possible good could anybody get out of coming forward and making a sworn statement that was not true, subjecting themselves to perjury, to fine or imprisonment? Now, these people have no reason for doing this except that it's true, and the only thing they can say is what they saw and what they did in fact see personally, and the affidavits come from housewives. I have one here from a Negro who was present in the church that these demonstrators took over forcefully and took them 48 hours to get them out of the church and all the things that went on in the Negro church in Montgomery. State troopers, the highway patrolmen there, policemen, National Guardsmen, and just plain ordinary citizens that were passers-by and saw some of the things that were going on. There are affidavits from people in every walk of life that have no axe to grind. They're not personally involved, but they did see it, and they knew that I had made the statements and came forward voluntarily to corroborate them. They were paid nothing. They get nothing out of it except maybe a lot of bad publicity.
As a matter of fact, didn't some of the wire service reporters write stories on basically the same subjects even before you made your charges?
Well, that's true. One AP reporter in particular whom I quoted, his name is Kelso Sturgeon, reported this, and it was written partially in the Birmingham News, and I contacted him, and he said yes, he saw three such acts during a so-called prayer vigil in Selma that was supposed to be going on to pray for the recovery of the Reverend Reeb, and I contacted him. He said yes, he saw this and would be glad to give me a statement. And when I contacted him later to set the time and place, he said that his boss, who was head of Associated Press for that part of the United States, told him that he could not give a statement because it was against the policy of Associated Press. And other newsmen whom we have contacted have said the same thing, that they cannot give statements unless they were subpoenaed, and of course I have no way of subpoenaing.
Is that one reason why you would like to have a congressional committee investigate this situation, because they do have subpoena powers?
Well, that was the only purpose of my bringing it up on the House floor, because I feel very strongly that the American public has an interest here, has a very real stake because of the tax money involved here. And if these charges are substantiated, as I know they will be, by anyone that looks into them with a halfway open mind, then the House should, in my opinion, by appropriate committee, look into these charges and take some affirmative action.
Congressman Dickinson, our time on this discussion has gone by all too quickly. Let's continue this discussion and cover some of the other aspects of the situation on next week's program.
Fine, I'd be glad to.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum, who will be back again next week, Congressman William L. Dickinson, Republican from Alabama. And this final word before we close, if you'd like to have copies of Congressman Dickinson's two speeches on the Selma to Montgomery March and some of the incidents which took place during this series of demonstrations in Alabama, just write to the address given at the end of this program. We'll be happy to see that you receive this material just as quickly as it becomes available. If you'll enclose a stamped self-addressed envelope, we'll be able to fill your request more promptly. Join us again next week at the same time, and we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.